Joining me now is the political activist Jamie Lee Hamilton. Jamie Lee's blog can be found at downtowneastside.blogspot.com, where you can read about all sorts of opinion and gossip on the local political scene. It is a must-read. Please welcome back to the commentary.ca, Jamie Lee Hamilton. Good morning, Jamie Lee.
Good morning, Joseph. Thank you for having me on again.
And thank you very much for joining us. Talk to me about your observations about this provincial election.
Oh, my goodness, this provincial election. I've had better dreams. it's rocking me to sleep, and not in a good way. Seems very boring. The only time I seem to sort of get stirred up is when someone like Mayor Campbell comes out calling one of the candidates a menace, which I think is totally inappropriate. But the mainstream parties seem to be doing what they usually do, which is talking a lot of gobbledygook. And I don't know if it's making much difference for British Columbians.
You mentioned Larry Campbell's intervention. That's when he called Lauren May in court a menace, was it?
Yes, he did. I guess Mayor Larry Campbell is supporting Councillor Tim Stevenson, who's trying to reclaim the seat, and I guess Mr. Campbell feels it necessary to attack other candidates, which I think is sad, and especially coming from the mayor. I'm not sure that's necessary, and it's certainly not appropriate.
I've had Rafe Mayer on here about a week ago, week and a half ago, and he was saying that this election is fought without a crisis, and that's probably why it's not interesting, right? Not exciting, at least.
I would agree that there just doesn't seem to be any issues that are really appealing to the gut level of British Columbians. So it's lacking character.
You were on CFRO Co-op Radio, and you hosted a debate with the candidates in Vancouver Burrard, right?
I sure did, and wow, was that ever an eye-opener. It was wild. It was like a grudge match, having NDP-er candidate Tim Stevenson going against the Liberal candidate Laura Maincourt, and I felt kind of bad for the Green candidate Yannick Kuschmitz and the BC Democratic Reform candidate Ian McLeod, as these two gentlemen that duked it out in the last election seem to have a lot of emotion when it comes to debating issues, and it was interesting.
It has gotten personal between Maincourt and Stevenson, hasn't it?
Yes, and I think that turns people away. It's become far too personal. I think, politics should be fought along the lines of what your record is, and not what you say, but what people can look to what you have actually done. And so that, I don't think there's any need for that fisticuff type of boxing match in politics. But it's going to be an interesting race. My candidate that I really wanted to step up to the plate and run in that riding would of course have been Jim Diva, the owner of Little Sisters Bookstore, and I think we would have seen a much different outcome. But I think it's a close race. I think Lorne, if he gets out his voters in Coal Harbour and Yaletown, that he may retain the seat.
Diva, who is he running? Was he running for a nomination?
No, he's a strong community activist, and so no, he didn't run for a nomination, but he's involved with the Davie Village Business Improvement Association. He also is a community hero. He serves around really decent, good guy that that appeals to ordinary citizens.
Now, you've observed Lorne Mainkort these last 4 years. Do you think his record has been good as an MLA? Or?
Well, certainly I disagree with his Safe Streets Act, and I don't think he needed to go down that route. I don't think he solved social issues by criminalizing, by criminal acts. And this legislation seems to do that. You know, but Lorne has a history. His history was, I think, one of an honorable one when he founded Friends for Life, which is an organization that provided support and comfort to people with life-threatening illnesses such as AIDS. And so his record, I think, previously to entering politics spoke for itself. I think he had a difficult dilemma because many seniors in his riding are afraid to go out at night, and they're barraged with people that are under the influence of drugs or people that appear somewhat menacing. And I think Mr. Mainkort had to take those seniors' concerns into his method of trying to find some positive outcome. So I suspect that's why he decided to go down that road.
Do you think that he's hurt by Gordon Campbell's image? I mean, Campbell is not friendly. He must be friendly, but I mean, he doesn't appear to be friendly. People can't warm up to him. Do you think, and his record of these last 4 years, from all the parties, seem to think that he's not appealing in that sense. Do you think Lorne Mainkort is hurt by that?
Oh, absolutely. Lorne Mainkort's hurt by the image that voters have of Premier Gordon Campbell. And I think it can't be easy for someone like Mr. Mainkort as a backbencher in a government that seems to have taken a more right-wing approach with some of the individuals in government who would be more in the line with the Reform Party, the old Reform Party. So it can't be easy, working with someone like a Mary Pollock, and who was the Langley candidate for the Liberals, who fought the same-sex ban on school books in Surrey.
Right. If you had to make a prediction, who do you think will win in Burrard? Is it too close, really?
I think it's too close, but my gut feeling tells me that Lorne Mainkort's going to win.
Really? Now, you ran in that riding in 2001, right?
Yes, I did, for the Green Party. A federal election, not provincial election.
All right. But talk to me about the Green Party, though, and what you think of what Adrian Carr has done with the party.
Well, I think Adrian Carr has improved the fortunes of the Green Party. I've seen it go from, 4% of the support to 10, and then 12, and 15, and seems to be hovering right at that 15% mark. But unfortunately, Ms. Carr, being a third party under the current political system of first past the post, has difficulty making inroads, and she has difficulty, I think, attracting an appropriate caliber of candidate. And where I reinforce my opinion on that is, like, there's three candidates of the Green Party running in this election that are opposed to choice regarding women's right to choose abortion, and that goes against the fundamental value of the Green Party. And then we have another candidate of the Green Party who wants to bring God, creation, into the political debate, and is reaching out under the guise of coalition building to attract value. that I think people that have values that'll come up right up against green values, and you know, I could see where the same-sex marriage issue could create problems within the Green Party if all of a sudden you have these new converts to it that come from the Christian right, and so I think Ms. Carr has those problems that she has to deal with, and I think the Greens are an honorable party. I think they're finding themselves in a position of acting like one of the bigger parties, and I think that's been a mistake. I think they should have remained acting like a smaller party. You know, they could still run, you know, a number of candidates, but those that have been involved with the party and that are very high caliber, and but they haven't. They want to be seen as being on the same footing as the NDP and the BC Liberals, but they're not, and they shouldn't try to be. They're, you know, I think I admire the Greens for being visionaries, and I think they've been ahead of the public, and I think the public's got some catching up to do, and I think that's happening, and I think if we go to a different form of electoral politics, such as STV, that the Greens will elect people, and that's why I don't understand why Ms. Carr hasn't come out in support of this.
She was on here the day before RIT Day on the 18th of April, and she refused to. She said that her decision as what she'll vote for in the referendum was private. I had the Green candidate in my riding, Vancouver Kensington, on yesterday, and he said that he was in favor, and that the party has sort of taken the position that each candidate can make their own decision. To the point of the Green Party, in this move that they've taken to the mainstream, you think that they've sold out, haven't they?
Well, it's certainly, I wouldn't say the party, the grassroots has, but certainly attracting certain candidates that think that they have a chance of winning, and then they something goes wrong in their thinking, and they start reaching out to a whole whackload of individuals, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you have a major problem. And I think the Greens have to be very, very careful of that.
You mentioned STV. You're in favor of STV, are you?
Yes, I am. I believe that returning democracy to the people is the way to go, and I believe STV does that. I believe it's going to increase opportunities for women in politics. It's going to increase opportunities for smaller parties, for independents, and I believe that there won't be this top-down approach of electoral politics where everybody seems to become the sheep under one leader and will say or do anything that leader tells them to do, and that has been a disgrace in my opinion, and we need to move away from that, and I think STV ensures that we can create something better.
I had Julian West on. You're part of STV for BC, are you not?
Yes, I am.
What has that been like, being part of that organization working to sort of build the advocacy and the attention of STV amongst people? Has that been fun? Has that been an interesting experience?
Well, I think any time you believe in a process and you're involved with various people, that it can be really interesting. But my concern is that the public doesn't know enough about it. I think the strategy maybe was not the strategy that we should have gone with. I think that it has a very high margin of trying to obtain success. But yes, I've enjoyed you know, being involved in meetings and promoting STV. I think STV would be so good for my community of the downtown east side, and so I'm trying to work down here, really chatting with my neighbors, saying, you know, here's a once in a lifetime it and make a choice.
Are people receptive when you talk about STV? Do they like it? Do they like the proposal, or do they think that they'll vote no? What do they say when you explain to them what the process is?
Well, they're confused on the whole subject of how does it work. You know, they've been used to going and just marking their X for one person, and all of a sudden they can't see it in front of them. So it's been difficult for them, but it's very easily explained that, you know, you just rank your candidate choices 1, 2, 3. It's as simple as that, and the counting is somewhat convoluted and complex, and I'm not even sure I understand that part. But then again, I don't need to. I really don't need to. Just the same as when ballots go into computers to count the vote, I don't need to, in the current first-past-the-post system, I don't need to understand the inner workings of that computer and in how it does the count.
I had trouble understanding how quotas work and how if you met the quota, how your ballots would be reassigned. But Julian West did a very good job yesterday walking me through it and how you rank and how many you can rank. And so I would suggest listening to that. People listening to us who don't understand it yet, that they listened to Julian West yesterday on the commentary. We're talking with Jamie Lee Hamilton. Her blog is at downtowneastside.blogspot.com. It's a great blog to find out the gossip and the sort. You broke the Gregson story.
Oh, yes, Ian Gregson, the candidate in Vancouver Hastings running for the Green Party, and his wife, or separated wife, who is the president of the Vancouver Hastings NDP riding executive, so she would be instrumental in Shane Simpson's campaign, and she took off for a nice spot, I believe, in Costa Rica as the election started, and saddled Mr. Gregson with 100% child care duties of looking after their children.
It's dirty politics, isn't it?
It's very dirty politics, and that shocked me because Ms. Gregson talks about female inequities and around child care and all that stuff, and then she did something like that. I think has touched on her credibility, and also it has spillover effect into the Shane Simpson campaign. Whether that's enough to change that riding's historical way of voting, I doubt it is. But it certainly turns people off from the political process when crap like that happens.
Now, Hastings, that's Joy McPhail's old riding. It's voted NDP forever, I guess. You know the candidates well. You know Simpson, and you know the Liberal Laura McDermott, do you not?
Yes, I know both very well. I grew up with Shane Simpson and the Raymer Project in the late 60s, and I've known Laura McDermott for, 20 years. So they're both interesting people. Laura's got served as vice chair of the Vancouver Park Board. She's been very involved in the gay community, and of course Shane has been involved in community politics for quite some time. So I think that's an interesting race, and I think they both have demonstrated that you don't need to slag each other to get your message out, or if you come from opposing political philosophies, you don't need to have a grudge match or a boxing match, and so that's going to be an interesting race. I think many pundits think that Shane's going to win in a cakewalk, but I'm not. I think he has a good chance of winning for sure, just because of the historical way the riding has voted. But he's not a Joy McPhail, and Joy McPhail certainly had, the head of BC Federation. neighbor on her side, Ken Giorgetti, when she ran, and so I think Laura's going to do a lot better than a lot of people expect her to do.
Really? Vancouver Mount Pleasant, that's another riding close by. Jenny Kwan is up for re-election. Is that a foregone conclusion that she'll win there?
Yes, it is. I think people love Jenny. I think Jenny has connected over the years with ordinary people in the riding, and certainly she's had a history in the Downtown East Side. You know, I think Jenny, if Jenny even ran as an independent, would win the riding. I think people just really like her.
Vancouver Kensington's my riding. Patrick Wong, David Chudnovsky, the Liberal and the NDP. I've had all the candidates on. What does it seem to you? Did you think that Chudnovsky could win this, or will Wong be reelected?
Oh, well, now, your riding has a high proportion of ethnic minorities, I believe.
Yeah, Ian King was on here from Terminal City, and he lives in Mount Pleasant, but he's traveled the riding pretty well, and he says that in the north part of the riding, closer to, I'd say, 12th and Broadway area, the signs he saw, this was at the beginning of the campaign, were heavily for the NDP. And if you go south of the riding, which is closer to about probably 41st, 49th area, Victoria, they were heavy for Wong. So that was his assessment, but that was, you know, 2 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago.
Right, and now with the gap seeming to narrow between the NDP and the Liberals, David Chudnovsky, I think, has a good chance of knocking off Patrick Wong. And again, I think it comes down to who gets out to vote on election day. However, you know, Patrick Wong defeated Ucho Dauphin, and whoever would have thought that would have happened? Like, yes, I know it was almost a complete wipeout of the NDP, but you would have thought that they would have retained their leader's seat.
Especially with all the attention that he had in the campaign on TV every day, that and Wong did not have that profile that Dauphin still lost.
Exactly, and I don't think Wong has been a terribly terrific MLA, and I think my feeling is that it's going to go to David Chudnovsky.
And incidentally, I will be endorsing a candidate this weekend.
Oh.
And I will say who I will vote for and why. So stay tuned for that, I guess.
I will.
The other horse race that is of interest probably is Fairview. Gregor Robertson, the NDP candidate, and Virginia Green of the Liberals. How do you think that'll work out?
I think Virginia Green's going to take it. I think Gregor Robertson... Robertson has appealed to, I think, people that are from the business community. I think such as Dr. Julia Levy. But I don't think it's enough. I think that riding, which includes Shaughnessy, has always voted predominantly for the center-right party, and I don't expect that to change, although I think Mr. Robertson will really tighten up the race, but I don't see him winning that riding.
Finally, Jamie Lee, overall predictions, what will happen on next Tuesday night? Will STV pass? Campbell will win? Is that your prediction? Or?
I think STV is going to pass, but not by the required 60% majority, and then I think the government will have a problem on its hands, because I think just slightly more than 50% of the public will endorse it, and that should be enough to change the system, and so I don't think the battle will be over. If STV comes under 50%, then it's over for sure. And in terms of the electoral outcome, I think the Liberals will win. I, you know, a week ago projected that they would take 49 seats